Hello, hello, and welcome to your latest episode of Burnoutology with me, your host, Kelly Swingler. Today, I thought we would take a break from the truths. We will be coming back to them, but the 200 truths that we have been starting to cover in this podcast, we're going to take a little bit of a break from. I am back. Some of you will know if you're a regular listener, and if also if you're in the Burnout Coach Collective, you will know that the last 12 months for me have been really bloody hard whilst I've been living with and eventually getting a diagnosis, something that's been misdiagnosed for over 12 years and the impact that's had on me. So over the last 12 years of misdiagnosis, 12 months of debilitating pain and issues and all sorts, I am now 7 weeks post-op and feeling like a brand new person. And so I thought over the course of, I don't know how many we've got, I've written down kind of maybe 13 episodes, 13 additional episodes in addition to these 200 truths that I could talk about learning and reflections and realizations, topics that we can link back to burnout over the last few weeks. So I might merge some of them. I'm not saying that all 13 will become episodes, but I thought being back, maybe we start afresh. Maybe we can think about things in a different way. But that's what I thought we'd get to. So, and it may just be one episode where I kind of talk about this. So today is a break from the truth, but I suppose not any truth that's going to stop us getting to the point of burnout, but a break from the 200 truths. And I have had, as I said, I'm 7 weeks post-op now. I feel like a completely different person for so many reasons. But I thought maybe it might help if I started firstly to talk about some of the prep that I did to allow me to have 6 weeks off work, completely uninterrupted, like no work whatsoever, no social media, still continue to fill places on the Master Burnout Coach program, still continue to fill places on the next Burnout Informed Coach, getting people interested and signed up for the Burnout Coach Collective. How I've been able to do those things in my business and I suppose in my life as well. I just told everybody I was you know, switching off for 6 weeks. So I thought maybe this would be the point that we start from as I come back. How can you grow, develop your business, your career, your life, your work, your relationships if you take 6 weeks out? I think that's the starter for today. So as I said, I thought I'd start with some prep. This episode may or may not, this might be the biggest, literally the biggest live brain dump that I have ever done, because I've no idea where the direction of this is gonna go. If you're a regular listener, you know how we do things now, right? You know how I do things. You know, this is literally every single week. This is a brain dump. This is me talking to you from the heart with how I'm feeling. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. Burnoutology is uncut, unscripted, unedited. What you see is what you get. If there's dogs barking, you get the dog barking. If I'm rambling, you get me rambling. If there's oohs and ahs and ums and pauses, you get all of that too. But many of you still keep coming back week after week after week and giving me all of your feedback and your light bulb moments and all of the feedback and informations that you've got. So we're going to carry on. This is where we're going with it. But let's take a step back, shall we? So as I said, I had 12 months this time last year, last November. I had my last speaking gig was the penultimate week of November. And I also launched Fuck Burnout, my second book specifically dedicated to burnout. I launched that last November. And that's about why we need to call BS on workplace wellbeing if we want to end burnout. So I did those two things. That was pretty much all I was able to really focus on in November. As I said, this pain had started last September. I was speaking at an event last September and really struggling. I was bloated. I was in pain. I knew that something didn't feel right. And then even more symptoms and lots of pain and lots of other stuff started to show up last November. And I just knew that wasn't right. I tried chasing doctors. I spent last Christmas worrying that I could have cancer. I had doctors and consultants sending me for emergency tests and biopsies and chasing those for results. And I had a horrible, horrible, horrible procedure called a hysteroscopy. Don't recommend those to anybody. If you do feel that you need one or you've had one, please, please, please do sign the campaign against painful hysteroscopies that you'll find on LinkedIn. You'll find them on all social platforms. Campaign against painful hysteroscopy. Give that a sign. But I knew, I suppose I went into hibernation from like November to February. I shared this with you all in the podcast then. I just knew that something needed to change. But actually, compared to the 6 weeks that I've just had, I wasn't doing any client work, but I was still showing up on socials every day. And I think we get told whether we're looking for jobs, whether you are running your own coaching business, whether you're employed and working as a coach internally, we've had it drilled into us, right, that we need to stay, and we do need to stay visible. And I absolutely agree that we need to stay visible, but that we need to be switched on all of the time. We've got to be in our emails all of the time. We've got to be on our socials all of the time. We've got to be in our DMs all of the time. And I just think the more that we continue to do that, the more we start to believe it. And the more then we can't put our phones down, we can't switch off, we can't do anything. So I had told myself, and bearing in mind, right, I have been working in this burnout space now for over 12 years, coming up to 13 years. I know the importance of breaks and rest. I talk about that with you all of the time. I talk about boundaries all of the time. I talk about prioritizing your rest and self-care all of the time. And every time that I'm doing it, I think I'm doing it really well. And then something happens, like taking 6 weeks off work. And I think, oh my God, like I could have been doing so much better up until now. And again, if you've been here for a while with me, you will know that I talk about there is no such thing as a one and done. Right? I can't go to the gym once and have the perfect beach body. I can't go for a run once and think I've got everything that I need to be able to go and run a marathon. I can't eat one healthy meal and think that that's going to be enough for me to, you know, be fully, have all of the nutrition that I need for the rest of my life. If we want to be living as happy, healthy humans, all of this work is constant, right? We need the consistency. We need the daily actions. We need the mindset in the right space. We need to keep going. And I honestly thought when I did my hibernation last December, I was like, what are the months? I completely lost the order of the months. We'll talk about brain fog in a moment, maybe. But I spent December, January and February hibernating. What I actually meant from that was I'm just doing less client work. And of course, it's the client work that generates the money, right? When you are self-employed, when you need to be doing what you're doing. I was still showing up on socials because a lot of the time the socials is how I grow the business. It's how I get people to book onto programs. It's how I'm able to continue to keep growing the Burnout Academy and keeping food on the table, keeping the roof over my family's head, right? That comes from the earning, the money, the work. But I still had this thing of, still got to be visible, still got to be on social, still got to be, you know, just checking in on emails. But I had told myself I was hibernating. Now, my assistant did take on some additional stuff and was checking my emails in addition to the stuff that I'd continued to check. In the prep for my operation, I knew that I needed 6 weeks at least of uninterrupted rest and recovery. There was that voice in my head that was telling me that I couldn't possibly take 6 weeks off. That I did, you know, obviously you don't have to do the client work, like take 6 weeks off the client work. But I can still be checking my emails. I can still be, designing content. I can be doing some nice stuff. I can be checking in on socials all the time. Like, I can still be in my DMs. I can still be doing all that. And actually, like, you know, that voice was telling me that I'd really enjoy all of that. I'd enjoy catching up with people. I'd enjoy continuing to see what was going on. And how often then do we think, particularly for those of us that do rely on our socials, either for career growth or to grow our businesses, how often do we tell ourselves that that stuff isn't work? I'm no socials, no tech after, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night. But how many of you are scrolling through your LinkedIn feed at 10 o'clock at night just because you think it's a nice thing to catch up on what everybody has been talking about all day? And you told yourself, because that's not working. How many of you are responding to DMs at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning while she sat reading the paper or, you know, having a coffee or a tea, whatever, in the garden? You're just scrolling through, responding to the stuff because you tell yourself it's not work. Because we class it as social media, right? It's social. Because it's social, because we're talking to people, we're interacting with people, we don't class it as work. That's kind of where we've got into it. It's social. It's how you keep up with all your best, you know, your besties. I can tell you my besties are the ones that have continued to message me, text me, WhatsApp me over the course of the 6 weeks. My besties, as much as I love lots of people, I've got lots of contacts, lots of connections, lots of really lovely messages from people in all of my DMs, in my emails, people checking up on me, which I'm very, very grateful for. Very grateful for all of them. But my besties, the ones that I want to hear from and speak to and do the updates and, you know, my kind of ride or die people, they've been in my messages and on my phone, if not daily, then weekly, whilst I've been off. We're convinced, aren't we, that we've got to keep impressing all of these strangers, all of these people that we don't know. We've got to continue to keep putting this stuff out there and you know, putting on our best self, the glamorous shots all over it. You're not finding glamorous shots of me all over Instagram, right? You'll get the hard truths, you'll get the videos, again, you'll get the unedited, uncut stuff. I'm not gonna be a viral sensation anytime soon. You get what you get. But we convince ourselves it's social, we convince ourselves it's not work, we convince ourselves that we've got to be doing all this stuff. And there was just something in me as I started to, as my inner dialogue, as I was beginning to prep for my op, the inner dialogue of, well, you can just do that whilst you're off, you can just do that whilst you're off, you can just do that whilst you're off, well, you can check in on that whilst you're off. And then I realised, if you're doing all this stuff whilst you're off, you're not going to get any rest at all. I needed to, for me, for my own sanity, for my own health, my happiness, my rest, my recovery, I needed to give myself permission. We've spoken about this before in previous episodes, right? Giving myself permission to say, I'm not doing anything for 6 weeks. Literally doing nothing for 6 weeks. I'm not doing the creating. I'm not checking in on DMs. I'm not doing any of that. And so I'd contacted then my assistant to say, I'm going to be taking the full 6 weeks off. And the day before or the day that I go, I want us to have a conversation. I want you to change all of my passwords on all of my social media so that I can't get into anything. And we had a call and she changed my passwords and I couldn't get into anything. And also for the first couple of days, I was like, oh my God, like I can't access it. Because of course, if you change your password, you couldn't get it on any device. And like that, it was so good for me. So good for me. I didn't feel panicked about it. I'd given myself permission to say I'm not doing it. My assistant had changed my passwords. So I knew there was absolutely no way that I could do anything. And we'd even talked about the fact that if I went in to then change my password, she would know about it because she'd be in my emails that would be saying you have just changed your password. And so there was no way out of it. I did record and create some content to continue to go out on TikTok, to continue to go out on YouTube and to continue to go out on Instagram. I don't have huge amounts of followers on there. Don't get huge amounts of interaction on there, but I wanted to stay visible on those platforms. Where I decided I wasn't going to stay visible at all was on LinkedIn. What didn't schedule a thing. The platform has been minimizing burnout as a topic all year. It has been minimizing the topic of women's health all year. You may or may not have seen on your feeds throughout last week. And again, not to minimize or take away, I completely appreciate it. I was able to do this from a position of privilege. I saw lots of women talking about and men talking about the fact that if they changed their gender on LinkedIn, their reach and visibility was changing. I, for 1 week, just as an experiment, changed my gender on the settings to male, and my views and impressions went up by over 6,000%. LinkedIn's been telling me all year, we're not doing anything to minimise your posts. Like I used to, if I got 10,000 views and hundreds of impressions and likes per post, that was a bad day for me. It's now a good day for me if 100 people see my content on LinkedIn. It honestly feels like there's just stuff going into the ether and important topics are being silenced and squashed. And so I don't want anything to do with LinkedIn. And again, I'd given myself permission to do that. I don't want anything to do with LinkedIn for 6 weeks. My assistant had my details. If anybody DMs, if I get any business inquiries, this is how we're going to respond. This is what we're going to say. But this is what we're going to do with LinkedIn. I stopped it. I did up my daily email. So I send emails to my subscribers. Monday to Friday, all of my email subscribers get an email. I suppose the inside stuff. And again, now I'm back. I want to be much more personal and giving hopefully much more value in there. I think I had realised again when I came back that some of those had started to feel a bit stilted and maybe a bit robotic whilst I was running on empty. Running on fumes, not struggling, but racing to get 6 weeks of emails drafted and written. And so my daily emails definitely in that preparation became more about the quantity of emails that I was sending to make sure that I was still speaking to people every single day for 6 weeks. And showing that I was visible and showing them that I still mattered and all of that stuff rather than the quality of the email. So that's going to change now I'm back. So if you listen to this and you get those emails, then you can go from there. But it's important to me to be in contact. Now, of course, daily emails from Monday to Friday are not going to be everybody's idea of heaven, right? For some people, it's horrible. And I did have one subscriber that basically emailed to say, I signed up on this day. You've sent me 4 emails. It's too much. I need to decide whether I want to continue to follow you or not. I said, yeah, it's fine. If 5 emails a week is too much for you, then that's fine. Just, you know, hit unsubscribe. But again, I make it really clear. I'm going to be in your emails Monday to Friday. And sometimes people will want to send you a message, won't they, to say this is too much for me. Sometimes people will just ignore you. Sometimes people will just unsubscribe. Sometimes people will mark you as spam. My email list has remained constant. My email list has continued to grow. My subscribers have continued to grow. The amount of responses that I'm getting in emails every week is continuing to grow. And I think for all of us, really, it's those kind of relationships that we all need to be kind of nurturing a bit more, right? If somebody is signed up to my email list and has continued to read and reply to my emails, if somebody is happy to have me in their inbox 5 days a week, then they're the relationships for all of us. Now, whatever your equivalent is, what's your equivalent of 5 emails a week, either in the workplace, with your friends, with your own business? What is your equivalent? Because again, for lots of us, we're nurturing the wrong relationships. We're nurturing the relationships with 20 or 30 or 40,000 followers showing up every day posting. But actually, social platforms are probably something actually only 2% of your network are going to see that content anyway. But if I've got the, you know, hundreds, thousands of on my email list that are taking the time to read and respond, they're the relationships that I need to be nurturing more of. What is your equivalent? Because I can tell you that actually some of the people that I thought I would hear from during my 6 weeks off, the people that are, you know, cheerleading for people all of the time, that tell me how much they love me and, oh, my besties, and, you know, you're my best friend and I'll do anything for you. Some of those have been the ones I didn't hear a word from whilst I was having 6 weeks off. Yet they'll send other people bouquets of flowers because they've had a bit of a, you know, they've had a crappy comment sent on LinkedIn, or their email access has been shut off, and they're straight in there with flowers and cards for them. Yet me, supposedly their friend, and there's nothing. And the more that I've thought about that, it's probably because I wasn't on social channels. So it wasn't going to be like, oh my God, I've just received a message from so-and-so. Thanks very much for checking on me. That wasn't going to end up on my social feed. How many people have you got in your life, in your workplace, in your client list that are only there for you if it's worth sharing on socials? How many people have you got in your corner that you know are your absolute ride or dies, that are in your emails, in your WhatsApp messages, in your texts, ringing you, checking on you, making sure that you're okay? Where are those people? How many of those have you got in your network? How many people have you got whereby if you had the worst day ever, or you needed 6 weeks off, how many people have you got that if you had 6 weeks off in business, they would still be talking about you in the rooms that you weren't in? Because that's where I realized I wanted to prioritize my time whilst I was recovering to really, really focus on the people that mattered. I could have scheduled 6 weeks worth of posts on LinkedIn to stay visible, to do all of that stuff. Because, of course, growing my business is still important, right? I need to make the money. And the money is even more important for the people that really matter, right? My partner and my sons, and being able to treat my parents and, you know, go on nice holidays and do, like, all of that stuff matters. But the people that really matter were the people that were in this house with me, taking care of me, checking in on me, in my DMs, in my messages, doing all that stuff. And in the preparation for taking 6 weeks off, they were the people that I prioritized. But first, the first person I prioritized was me. What do I need? How am I going to make this work? What do I need to give myself permission to do? What can I say no thank you to? And I honestly, honestly thought that a week or two into my recovery, I would be like, oh my God, I'm just going to ask her for my passwords back. I thought I would be creating content, coming up with podcast episodes, writing courses. I thought I'd be reading books. I thought I'd be really engrossed in TV episodes. I'd asked all of you, all of my email subscribers, for book and TV and film recommendations. Didn't do any of it. I sat, I slept, I rested, I did some painting. Now, I wish I could say I was actually an artist, but it was paint by numbers, but it looks bloody amazing. Some days I just sat and stared out the window. I've had the clarity that I've got, and I will do this in other episodes. I'm conscious of time for this week. There's so much that I want to share with you, but I did so much less than I thought I would do during those 6 weeks off. And I did stuff that I never, ever imagined I would be doing. So much so that I found myself a couple of days ago, like dancing on the driveway with my stepson, with, you know, when you pull up in your car and your favourite song comes on just as you're about to pull up, but you think, oh, I can't turn this off. I've got to, you know, stay in the car and listen to it. We don't have any neighbours. That song got turned up. Doors were open full blast, having a dance on the driveway. That's the level of clarity and energy that 6 weeks just giving myself no plan, no thinking that I need to do anything, no pressure, no social media, no tech, no anything. Every single day, and sometimes multiple times a day, what do I need right now? Right now I need some sleep, right? I'm going to go and sleep. What do I need right now? I need a bath. I couldn't have a bath for a couple of weeks and get stitches, but like showers. But as soon as I could have a bath, I had a bath. I have been craving movement. and dancing and yoga and walks and running and craving stuff that I never ever imagined that I'd be. I didn't realize how much I'd missed dancing. We all think couldn't survive 6 days off social media, let alone 6 weeks. And yet those 6 weeks off have given me so much. So I'm gonna continue to talk about this over the, I don't know, at least one more episode, because there's loads more that I want to share. But maybe today let's start with those relationships. Who are the people that would check up on you if you vanished for 6 weeks? Who are the people that would be checking up on you, making sure that you're okay? And how much are you prioritizing those? Because when it comes to burnout, burnout prevention, burnout recovery, if we want to solve the burnout equation, right, toxicity minus sense of self equals burnout. The most important relationship we have is the one with ourselves, right? We need to develop that sense of self. We also need connection with those around us. So many of us are becoming more and more distant from people. And many more of us are prioritizing how we look on socials to hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of followers and thinking that those are the people that really matter and not giving the time, energy and attention to the real people that matter in our lives. The people that will be checking up on us if we need 6 weeks off to recover from an operation. So let's start by thinking about connection, connection to ourselves and connection to others in how we solve the burnout equation. Toxicity minus sense of self equals burnout. I'm going to do a few more, I think, of these Break from the Truth episodes, but I hope you have found, I hope you found this one useful. So this is my first Break from the Truth, talking about what I've been doing over, or how I was prepping for my time off before my op. So I hope you found that useful. New episodes of Burnoutology land every single Tuesday at 7 a.m. If you have loved this, please do share it with somebody else who might like it. Give it a like, give it a share, give it a comment, share it with somebody who might like it. The more that we can get these messages out there, hopefully the quicker we can end burnout. So thank you very much for joining me with my first newly recorded episode without me having to do it before I went off to recover. I will, hopefully you'll be in your ear again next Tuesday, 7 a.m. So thanks very much for listening. Take care for now. Bye-bye.